We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Dixville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,558. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and my car. Hard to Men's Room. On tap today, Ryan Castle joins us from his basement, dungeon, bar, studio, and once again, we will sit and spin now. Not all breakup songs have to be ballads, so today, the top 10 hard rock breakup songs. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, Men's Room Shot of the Day, fun listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clap, drunk
and draw. All right, here we go. Rhode Island man fights off a catalytic converter thief while naked and steals his phone. Meanwhile, police find a homemade explosive device in a man's pocket during a traffic stop right beside his bone. Racer in Boston Marathon makes wrong turn and loses $50,000 in prize money. Man in Bosnia makes his house spin in a circle to get some action from his honey. And a woman tries to cut off her husband's penis before stabbing him to death. Ah, good times. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, the world is slowly opening back up, and one of the manifestations of that is the return of live events. For example, on November 18th of this year, you can join us at Snoqualmie Casino for Live Day. But I'm not here to talk about us. I'm a company guy, Miles. But I'm not here to talk about us. I'm here to talk about the band Smash Mouth. I know you're saying, what? Look, inexplicably, the band still lands paying gigs, but that may have come to an end after their weekend gig in Bethel, New York. It was so bad that the lead singer, Steve Harwell, he's officially retiring. You see, he got super drunk, started slurring, dropping drinks, gave a Nazi salute, and for good measure, told one fan that he would kill their entire family. We don't know why, but good times. Then there's country superstar Tim McGraw. Now, he's always been a class act, except for a brief moment this weekend at a show in the eye patch capital of the Western Hemisphere, Reno, Nevada. He forgot the lyrics to one of his songs. The crowd booed, and that's when Tim jumped the hell off the stage and got in some couple's face. We don't know exactly what he said, but eventually he got back on stage and finished the show. But as you would guess, everybody with a cell phone, yeah, they wanted to record that. And let's face it, that did not make things better, but it did make the show more interesting. But that's how it goes, right? It's a show or performance itself that you remember, but there's something unexpected that happens that now makes that show performance much more memorable. Take a sporting event like football or baseball, right? You go to a Dodgers game, there's a good chance you're going to see a fight. You'll remember the fight more than the game. But we take you to the NFL game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Carolina Panthers this past Sunday. It wasn't a fight that grabbed the attention. It was two Eagles fans getting busted, having sex in the men's bathroom. And as you might guess, everyone with a cell phone was right there to record it. But that's how it goes, right? You go to an event, there's a lot of people, and there's always something that distracts you, whether it's watching a chick puke off the mezzanine level onto the crowd below. Seen that one before. Or the guy who fell down the stairs with a tray of drinks. Saw that one before. But that leads to today's question, which is this. Other than the event itself, what made the event memorable?
Be a part of the big show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the shows and away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3558. What a large and in charge program we have for it today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, Ryan Castle will join us. We will sit and spin. And today, as they say, not all breakup songs have to be ballads or slow songs. Mm-hmm. Some people break up and they get a little bit more angry, and the music is a little bit more up-tempo. It actually rocks. So today we have for you the top 10 hard rock breakup songs of all times. Yes, the topic is breaking up with someone, but it's not sad and sappy. It's more angry.
It is. It makes you dig the breakup.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Like hell with you.
F them.
Right.
Whoever
exactly.
They were.
Yeah, I don't love you anymore. All the hard hitters in there, you know, pretty much. So Castle joining us, top 10 hard rock breakup songs on the way. And once again, we'll go to the Men's Room Happy Hour. More Men's Room coming your way Monday through Friday at 6 on the Odyssey app exclusively. Here's what you do if you don't have the app. Just download it for free. Search for the Men's Room. You will see the Men's Room Appy. Men's Room Appy Hour. And you click on that, favorite that channel, and then we come on at 6 o'clock. Leave these airwaves and go over there where the rules are a little bit different. We are not governed by the FCC when we go to the Appy Hour program. So today on episode number 51, it is the return of the effing news. And these are actual news stories that include the F word. Now, most of the time, if you read these, you know, on regular news, they put a little, you know, asterisk in there where the U is, or they don't give you the full quote on what
the
someone
U,
says.
What word?
Hmm. Yeah. Where they kind of, you know, bleep certain things out in words that people say.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm always of the opinion, like, if it's the news and this is a quote that somebody said, just play it.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's quotes from Joe Biden. There's quotes from Donald Trump. Celebrities, musicians, artists.
Everybody.
When something effed up happens, people will drop the F word. Now, they know better than to do it on a live broadcast someplace. They're not doing it on The Tonight Show, but, you know, in other interviews on podcasts where they describe where things happen, some effed up stuff happens. And they drop the ball on it. So that's basically what the effing news is all about. And today on our question, other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? Now, we have a potentially memorable event coming up as KISW once again presents Live Day. We are back doing it live Thursday, November 18th. That's up at Snoqualmie Casino. Those tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m. BJ and Migs. Our show will be completely live the entire time. We're inviting you finally back to have some fun, get out. It's been about a year and a half.
With like Live Day. Wow. You talk about the things we remember from Live Day. And the last one we did at the casino, I remember rolling in and crushing some Jack Daniels backstage with Jeets. I remember Robin attaching herself to Miles and I because we decided we're going to get a shot before the broadcast. She protested this, so she, along with two other employees, just to make sure we only had one shot. We did, one shot, one beer. She was not happy about it, but she's like, I'm going to make sure. I remember the woman flashing her boobs while we're up on stage. I remember Joe Dredd doing
Hard Luck
Big
Woman.
Dummy. No, oh. We're doing Big Dummy. It's just that he's dressed as Gene Simmons. And just in my mind at the time, there's human beings, and then there's a 7-foot-tall goddamn demon talking to us
yeah.
about Kiss songs.
I always remember what they do is they put us up in a
place.
A hotel?
That's a motel.
Yeah, it's a motel.
Not a hotel.
Yeah.
So what we do is we...
Doors on the outside? Yeah.
So this one...
It's a motel, man.
We leave. Yes, they are. All the balconies have ashtrays for each and every door. Did you notice that? There's an ashtray.
That's perfect. I do like that.
I do appreciate that.
The smoking section is right out your door.
You check into this place and you think to yourself, I should have brought just a blue tarp to lay down on top of. All right, so you know, like on Wednesday night, we'll get out of here and we'll head that direction because we get there probably like 9-10 in the morning when BJ and Migs are doing their thing. We basically show up and start working on the show and everything else. So we stay in this hotel room, man, and I mean sometimes
not a hotel,
this whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're laying in there and you're like, am I going to be alive tomorrow? Like, I really hope I'm going to be alive tomorrow.
I can smell the meth through the walls.
Right. And then it's a very pleasant...
I like that. They smoke their cigarettes outside, but they smoke his meth inside. Like, bro, come on, man. You're killing me.
Remember, that's kind of how you do it.
Yeah.
I know, Ted. But it's just like, dude, these are thin walls. I don't care what I hear. You know what I mean? I get it. But, like, I can smell your meth, and I'm scared I'm getting high.
Right. The one who was in the room beside me, I woke up and her curtains were wide open. I went outside to get a cigarette on the balcony. I look in there, and she's got the coffee pot going. They put a coffee pot in the room there, and it's filled with Top Ramen.
Oh, yeah. A little breakfast.
With the noodles inside. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, man, get some of that breakfast in there. It looks pretty good. Yeah, but that's always very memorable.
That's continental breakfast.
Yes, exactly. By the way, if you don't know anything about Live Day, we've been doing it for years, but every single aspect of the day is live. The commercials, all the music that you hear, the sound effects are done by Foley artists. We do the show live. You're a part of that show with us. And it's nothing is pre-recorded. So nothing that you hear on these airwaves, or if you're joining us at Snoqualmie Casino, it's basically old school radio that goes all the way back to the very beginning of radio. Like, you know, the Green Hornet.
Or right. I mean, it's
the
that
Lone
stuff.
Ranger. You know,
but that's what makes it memorable to me. I never remember the broadcast we did. I couldn't tell you what we did. But you just remember all these little things going on because it's such a big production. Like, you know where things were messing up. Maybe the crowd couldn't tell, but, like, we knew something was going off the rails on the side. The things that happened backstage. But the day itself, like, I don't know what we did. I don't even know if the show was any good. But I remember a lot of just different odd things that happened throughout the day.
Solid gold 70s themed Live Day, Ted, but without the, no disco, I guess. Which kind of disappoints me, because I'm a closet fan of disco, to be honest with you.
It's National Coming Out today. I've come out of the closet. I love disco.
It's just hard to find a good disco band, you know what I'm saying, that can play a few songs.
I wonder
songs.
Why that is.
Well, I guess they're just not popular.
You hear about a lot of disco cover bands.
No, you don't.
You don't. I mean, I'm sure there's a reason for that, and I accept that reason.
ABBA was not disco, but they're the closest thing to having tribute bands that I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, they had some disco moments.
Yeah, and by the way, tickets going on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m., and if you head to KISW.com, there's a lot of different packages. If you can make it to BJ and Migs in the morning, you work in the afternoon or whatever, they have a ticket specifically for the morning. They have a ticket specifically for the afternoon. If you can get off in the afternoon and you want to join us, there's packages that include both shows and all kinds of different tiers as far as the tickets are concerned, what you get with the packages and all that. So check all that out at KISW.com if you're interested in spending a half day, spending the whole day up at Snoqualmie Casino. It's going to be a good one.
Somebody here says, will you do the happy hour on Live Day? Now, Mike responded kindly, said, not likely. No.
we are fried. No. You got to remember, we're reading all the commercials. Well, not typically, we'll have one or two of us will have to read a commercial during the break. So this is problematic because we can't smoke. So whether you understand this or not, if you're hearing music on the radio station or you're hearing commercials right now, today, we're outside.
Oh, yeah.
We're smoking cigarettes. You know what I mean? So,
no offense, but
we get tired.
Forget the cigarettes. It's hard to even pee.
You just don't have a lot of time. You know
right.
What I mean? I mean, it's boom, 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 and everybody's just, the whole train's moving along. It's a cool experience.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Pretty wild ride, but we're just happy to be back out and seeing everybody and being able to have a good time, have a couple drinks, maybe a shot before we go on the air, and doing a shot of the day with
you guys. Don't shake your head already, Mike. Look, you'll see one of them. You will see one. We're already going to be three deep.
They keep their eyes on us like we're teenage children, and we are going to go vandalize the neighborhood.
I can't imagine why, Mike.
I can't either. I can't imagine why they would think that way.
I don't recall this, but I remember Jeets telling me sometime after Live Day, he said, you and Miles rolled in. He said, somebody for promotions ran up to you, said, hey, in 45 minutes. And he said, you put your hand on his mouth and said, hey, Slick, find me in 40 minutes. Tell me what I got to do in five. He said, and then you rolled into the backstage and you were screaming for shot glasses. No one had any. You dumped out a ramekin of sugar. You dumped Jack in there, drank that, and offered me some. So that sounds about right.
We got to get going in the morning. I mean,
yeah,
it sounds like, do you think we go up there and don't have a beer on Wednesday night or two or three?
Right.
By the time it comes around, man, we just like with our head down eating breakfast, sucking on coffee before we get to the casino to just try to pull our crap together, which is basically what we did the entire weekend last weekend.
Yes.
So live events are back, and we want to know. And I think, you know what, man, for the most part, to be honest with you, as far as our events are concerned, you guys are very polite to everybody. Everybody is a good time. As far as Red Festivals, Paint in the Grass, Live Day, we've never had a lot of shenanigans. I'm sure that they have happened somewhere way out in the, you know, the outfield someplace. Or I know that maybe one person I remember got kicked out of Live Day a few years back. But I think that was just because he got so hammered in the morning.
Yeah, he just drank all day,
it was
man.
It's a long day. Mm-hmm. If you go to both of them, and then you have that four-hour break in between where it's like you're at a casino, you can have another drink.
That's 12 hours of drinking.
Exactly.
If you don't get kicked out after drinking 12 hours, like, either they're real passive or you're real good at hiding
it. So our question, other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? A few videos have been making the rounds here the last two or three weeks, including, did you see the one, Ted, about the cat that was at a stadium? It was kind of dangling from the upper balcony in the...
Oh, yeah, it was a few weeks ago at the Auburn game, right?
Yeah.
Or some college football game.
I don't know how the cat got in, probably, you know, stray or whatever. But either way, the cat is dangling from the upper concourse. The people down below, I don't know if they grabbed a blanket or if they had a big jacket or whatever. But that cat falls, man, and they catch the cat. And the cat is perfectly fine, and the place just goes nuts.
Yeah, that's it, right?
You know, regardless of whatever this outcome of the Auburn game was, what people were talking about in the bar after that, did you see that cat fall, man? You know what I mean? Like, did you see those guys catch the cat?
Isn't that why people streak? Like, it doesn't matter what game you're at, right? If the streaker gets on field, if they can outrun security long enough, like, that's what you're like, yeah, my team lost, but this dude ran around for 5 minutes for a security. If a squirrel runs onto a baseball field, which seems to be their field of choice, and you're watching security and the rest of the grounds crew trying to catch it, which is such a futile effort. But, I mean, they chase this thing. You can play yakety sacks. Takes like 10 minutes before the squirrel disappears. Like, that's only ESPN to be like, yeah, the Royals played today. But look at the squirrel.
Okay, it also depends on if the game's a blowout. When I was, like, in seventh grade, we went to Florida, like Tallahassee, Florida, watched Maryland play Florida State. Well, Florida State absolutely kicked the crap out of us. But there was a Maryland fan that ran the whole length of the field, spiked a footfall before he got tackled.
Right.
Sweet.
Yeah. Like, I still remember that guy.
I've seen a couple streakers lately where they could not get them. They could not tackle them. I'm not sure if they streaked, but they ran onto the field.
Yeah.
And they were shirtless, man, and the security just could not keep up with these guys. They were weaving in and out of them and everything else. And the weird thing about what the pandemic is, and you mentioned the Dodgers earlier, we know traditionally that, you know, the Dodgers and the Giants don't like each other.
They're going to stab each other.
So there's going to be a fight someplace. But now, even if it's football, if it's baseball, whatever it is, the videos that people have lost their damn mind. I get on Bro Bible on a Monday morning, and there'll be, which is a great website, brobible.com, and there'll be like two or three videos from fans that are getting into it in the stands. And I'm telling you, 99% of the time at this point, it's the same fan base that's fighting with each other.
Yeah, I remember the Browns most recently. Like, why are Browns fans
fighting Browns fans?
But then the people trying to break them up are like the fans of the other team. Like, guys, like, you're cheering for the same team. What could possibly be the problem here?
Right. And it just seems like the same fan base is now getting into it. And you're just like, come on, man. You know what I mean?
I did get hit by a cup of ice at the 49ers-Ravens game a couple years ago. Went to San Francisco. Well, I went to San Francisco to stay, and then it's another 15-hour drive to get to the goddamn stadium.
South of San Diego.
And I am talking just mad smack about the 49ers, doing my thing, and a cup of ice came from somewhere, ricocheted off my shoulder, but the ice mostly hit the guys in front of me. But they're 49ers fans, so they looked at me and said, it's not me, it's one of you, homie. And we pointed up there, and I have no idea who threw it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter to me, but I'm like, if you're mad. But what made it great was I went back to talking S, but now the 49ers fans in front of me got the ice on them. They're staring up at other 49ers fans, and I'm like, I hope they get into it. Yeah. I'd love to just keep talking crap about your team and you guys fight.
This is going
to
go down. So our question, other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, naked ladies.
Hola.
Hola. So, Thrill, you're a day late. Yesterday was National Coming Out Day.
Oh, damn it, man. Oh, well, I must go back in the closet. Yeah.
I thought it was Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day as well.
And I'm sure it's like National Donut Day.
Yeah, there's like 25 things every day.
Of course. So 1997-98, I went to see U2 twice, once at the beginning of the tour where Rage Against the Machine opened, and then the second time, since we're talking about Smash Mouth opened the second time in Seattle. My buddy and I are there, Smash Mouth comes out, and they said the one thing that you probably shouldn't say to a full Kingdom capacity Seattle crowd, we're Smash Mouth, we're from California. There was no quiet moment after that in between songs that, where they were not being booed, actively tried to get booed off stage.
Just for being from California.
Well,
Ken, you got to remember, like, for some reason, you know, they wear the black hat a lot of the time. Like, even if you would go to the monster truck races or something like that, they'll race four-wheelers and things like that before the thing. And they'd be like, it's your Washington team. Versus California.
Right, California's always the bad guy.
Yeah, they are like, you know, the Washington Generals aren't necessarily the bad guys taking on the Harlem Globetrotters because they don't have a shot, but the Californians, you know what I mean? Like,
but and around here, everyone's hated, or supposedly hated Californians for so long because, you know, they all move up here and made everything awful, and usually the people that complain about Californians were Californians about 10 years ago.
I find it amazing that Smash Mouth had to say they're from California to get booed. I would think they would just play a song. Like, that's good enough.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Smash Mouth, the lead singer is calling it quits after his shot at one final show went off the rails. I guess that was supposed to be their last show. Steve Harwell told TMZ he's retiring. Ever since I was a kid, I dreamed of being a rock star performing in front of sold-out arenas. I've been fortunate to live out that dream. To my bandmates, it's been an honor to perform with you all these years, and I can't think of anyone else I would rather have gone on this wild journey with. Well, the video, the decision comes after a video of the band's performance this weekend in upstate New York, and it went viral due to Steve's behavior on stage. He was slurring his words. He was obviously on something. Yelled at the audience and at times seemed completely disassociated with the event. As a matter of fact, we'll go to the TikToks here. A young lady who was at that show basically doing a little reporting and letting you know just how bad the show actually was.
Okay, I know the ethics of this aren't great, but I did just see Smash Mouth perform live at a local beer and wine festival. When I say this is the most chaotic show I've ever seen in my entire life, I have no words.
At no point was the sound balanced. Unintelligible speech.
Not the greatest show in the world. And look, that doesn't do the video justice. This guy was wasted. All right, he was slurring. He was dropping his drink, often not even singing. He brought a girl up on stage to sing because he didn't want to. At one point, he appeared to give a Nazi salute. He told one fan, quote, I'll effing kill your whole family, I swear to God.
What do you think that? Why?
He also told the crowd that if he could pleasure himself orally, he would never leave the home. Which, you know, I mean, that might be the that might be the most intelligent thing that came out of his mouth the entire time.
The crowd would tell you the same. Like, if we could, we wouldn't be here. We know. Mm-hmm. What is with the Nazi salute and then singling someone, I will kill your whole effing family? Like, dial it back a little.
There's 40 people there. You know what I mean? Like, you're individually pointing people out, but there's only, like, you know what I mean? There's
and
only
10 of them are your relatives.
Our question, other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Our question, other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hola.
So, Tool 2006 at the Gorge. It was earlier in the show. They have the big lean-to for the sound equipment, mm-hmm. as far as, like, the coverings. So the show's going on, Tool's rocking out, and this guy decides to climb up on the middle covering in the middle of the show. And he's up there dancing, obviously, on drugs or whatever.
Oh, yeah, drugs. It's the Gorge, man.
And the crowd is cheering for Tool, and then they start cheering for this guy. One security guard goes up there, tries to take him down. He's dodging him, running around this little covering. Ends up being like four security guards up there. The crowd is going nuts over this guy. And then Maynard actually stopped the show. And like, what, you know, what is this guy doing? Or probably some profanities during the process. But finally took about four or five security guards to get him down. And then, you know, they continued the show.
You don't want to be a guy that stops a show. Like, you might do something stupid, and all, but like, when the band's, and you're talking a band on Tool's level, and they stop, that's when you think to yourself, I may have made a mistake. Right, because the crowd can cheer for you, but once the band stops, now they hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what...
Well, and not only that, but there's a whole, like, a whole video of Paul Stanley. And besides all the cheesy things he says in between songs, there's an entire video of him stopping the crowd for people who are being, you know, asses, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he's Paul Stanley.
Right, he's still in Paul Stanley mode.
He's speaking as if Paul Stanley is still trying to get the crowd fired up, but he's talking to the guy in the front
row. I think y'all better have a little more respect.
Did you punch that guy? That ain't cool. You know, like, get him out of here.
I know. He never stops.
It's just like, he's just...
One of my favorite videos.
I was going to say, also, though, with those bands, like, they play so many shows. And, like, everybody, when you're at the show, think you're being special, this and that. Like, you're not.
You're not.
And the band, like, after a while, it's just like, all right, stop, dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen the video of Maynard. So Tool's playing the show. I don't remember where this was or how many years ago. But a dude jumps on stage, which people are prone to do. Maynard's not down with that. So this guy jumps on stage. Maynard is singing. He does not miss a note. He does not stop singing. Gets this guy in a headlock and chokes this dude out until he's unconscious. Guy drops to the ground. Maynard keeps... They finish, like, security comes out and drags his limp body off stage. They keep saying...
Maynard's pretty jack guy, isn't he?
He's a former military guy. That's one. All right? So you jump up there.
He went to West Point. Right? I don't think he actually served.
I thought he did. I don't
know. He went to West Point for like a year and then...
Became Maynard.
All right. He puts in a... I mean, he gets a rear naked choke on that dude.
And
locks his legs around him and just, gets him on the ground.
But never stops singing. And I just thought, don't ever jump on stage during a Tool show.
No.
He ain't playing that, man.
Other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Tasha. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I have to start out saying this was the craziest reggae show I have ever been to, and I've been to a lot. And
Shama.
I've been to metal shows. So this concert, it was like 6-7 years ago up at Marymore. And it was, I think I already said Slightly Stupid. So, stand in front row with my friends, just having a grand old time. All of a sudden, this guy jumps off the front of the stage, but goes feet first. And I don't know if any of you have been to Marymore, but that's quite a gap.
Mm-hmm.
And you usually don't stage dive feet first.
Or at a reggae show.
Right.
That's what I thought, but, you know, first time for everything. So, he ends up hitting this girl two people over from me. Misses my friend, hits the girl next to her, and ends up actually breaking her neck.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. So luckily my friend's an EMT and was holding her until everybody actually came and all the security and everything. Well, the guy just wanted to stand there and be in front row now. And everybody's like, no, dude, you got to go back to the back line like everybody else who's done this. And he's like, no, I'm staying here. And we're like, no, dude, you just hurt this chick. Like, you should probably go. So Mike, the lead singer of Slightly Stupid, jumps off the stage, tells this guy to go. The guy starts trying to argue with him. He ends up just punching the dude in the face a couple times. And security finally gets there and drags him off. And he's like, sorry, you guys. Oh, sorry I had to see that. He was like, but I hope everybody stays safe. Pick people up if you see them fall down. And let's have a good show. And then went on with the rest of the night. And it was like, one of the best reggae shows ever, but also the most crazy I've ever been to.
I can't believe they didn't kick that guy out, too.
Oh, no, they did after Mike beat the crap out of him.
Okay, yeah, all right. But it took that.
But he broke the girl's neck?
Yeah, well, because he hit her in the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just took her out. And then her drunk friend kept trying to pick her up. So my friend, luckily, thank God she's an EMT, and she was like, stop touching her, leave her alone, I'm going to hold her neck. Make them get security and ambulance over here, like, fast. But it was, like, the longest 5 minutes for them to finally come over and get her. But
and that's awkward,
sure, yeah.
And I've seen people get hurt, but I have never in my life at a reggae show.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just not the concert I would expect that.
I should try that at Jazz Alley. You know what I mean?
Oh, see, you said yesterday you don't know what to do at a jazz club. We were like, what do you do?
I'm going
to
stage dive.
Yeah. No one will see it coming, right? Huh? Like when they break down the little...
when the drummer starts doing his...
I love this stuff, man. And just dive onto a table.
Dive onto somebody's table's eating dinner.
Yeah, like Bell's Mafia. I mean, just go for it, man.
Go all in.
What a crazy show. That Phil Woods is nuts.
Other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
By the way, quick update. Turns out Maynard from Tool, black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You got a body lock and put that choke in nice.
So again, don't jump on stage when they're playing. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Doing great, Brian. How are you, man?
Doing all right. Coming home from work.
Okay. So what made the event memorable?
Back in Atlantic City, we were going to the MMA fight. It was Kimbo Slice's first professional fight against Ray Mercer, former boxer.
Oh, yeah.
So in the undercard fight, you know, it got real boring. All of a sudden, you hear the crowd roar. Everybody turns around. There's two guys just tearing into each other in the upper deck. And, I mean, we're talking like large blood splatter, beer, pieces of clothing just flying everywhere. It took about 22 security guards to get these two apart. And then on the way out, they had to tase one of the guys twice.
Damn.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Now, are these guys just standard fighting, or as we generally surmise, when you go to an MMA fight, 80% of the crowd is also training MMA. So did they look like they knew what they were doing, or was it just a drunken brawl?
They were pretty hefty dudes. I'm pretty sure not working out hefty, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got
yeah,
you.
It's just a fight.
Well, at least you got a better fight, you know, than the one that was.
Yeah, it's better than the undercard
that you paid for.
God, I remember Kimbo Slice's first professional fight, as it were, and I believe it was almost his last, was it not?
Oh no, Kimbo fought for a few years.
Did he?
Yeah, it was just he had been out of it, and then they had him fight again. Was it in Strikeforce or somebody?
It just didn't work well, right?
Oh no, him and the other dude both of them, they almost died in there.
Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
But they were older and stuff. No, Kimbo fought in the UFC for a little bit. He got on the Ultimate Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, this will not surprise anyone in this studio. We know Brent from Shinedown, right?
Oh, yeah.
We love the guy. He loves us in return. We get along well, but he's an intense dude.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that you would just mess with, but it says, I was at Shinedown a few years ago in Seattle. Brent Smith stopped the show after a guy flipped him off. Jumped off stage and was about to beat that dude's ass. I can believe that.
There was a while there where he was like doing like the P90X thing and
all the time.
They were just working out nonstop on tour. Like the whole band just basically they went from being, you know, on drugs, young and drinking to being these guys who just, you know, looked ripped. So
we kind of saw him at his worst and we saw him at his best. So we had interviewed him a few times, and this is years ago, but he came in one time, and remember, he was just pudgy and looked greasy, and he was just tired, and you can tell he's doing all his drugs and all this thing. And the next time we saw him, that dude was so cut and so built. It's like, yeah.
Who are you? Other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Very intense dude.
He is an intense dude. Hello, unless you bring up chicken in your teeth. Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, I'm a massive fan of the band Seven Dust. I was at a show one time and I do sing a little bit, and I actually got to jump up and do part of a song with the band. So that was pretty fun.
That is cool.
Did they know you were going to end up on stage, or how did this work?
Well, I mean, long story short, I live in South Dakota, and this was during Sturgis. LeJean, the singer, and I have a mutual friend, Goat, used to be on a show called the... Full Throttle Saloon, and so we knew each other that way, so he brought me up.
That
was
kind of
cool.
Okay, cool. I was going to say, man, especially for a band like Seven Dust, because that singer can legitimately sing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Now, when you go up there to sing, I got to think again, so when you have a band where the singer legitimately can sing, and now you go up there and you sing something, does the crowd cheer for you, or like when you're done singing, are they giving you the stink eye, like, you suck, please don't do that again, or was it
cool?
Or
you ruined my favorite song, right. You know?
It was a mixed reaction, and I couldn't tell what was really going on because most of them were wasted off their ass.
Ah, that helps. Yeah, drunk crowds always more appreciative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other than the event itself, what made the event memorable?
I mean, that's what make karaoke bars karaoke bars.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you know, it's your favorite band, they invite you to go up there and sing, and you're not necessarily a singer, I'd be like, man, I appreciate it. Can we wait till you're about 9 songs deep? Like, if you're 2 songs in, like, I'm not singing right now, man. Everybody's sober.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick my ass.
And sometimes it's just what's going on around you in the venue, like with sporting events and everything else. Ted, weren't you at that, weren't you at the actual baseball game where they put that little girl up?
Oh, the cotton candy girl. Yeah, Mike and I were there.
Wait, what?
Do you know, have you ever seen the meme or the gif or whatever of the
look, she's
kid?
like a 3-4-year-old blonde girl. She's got little pigtails and she's eating cotton candy and she's just like, ah, like this cotton candy's awesome.
You know,
like
I've never seen
sugar
this.
Rush. But
you've seen it on social media and stuff.
All right.
Like, trust me, it's everywhere. It's hard to get away from it. But Mike and I were actually at that game, and they showed her a couple times, and we were dying laughing.
Oh, I have seen her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Of course. Right. Now, to this day, Miles, to your point, I don't know who they were playing, but never forget that I was at that game.
That kid did that.
Yeah.
Because that'll keep coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 years ago. Was it 5 years ago?
Damn.
Yeah.
Other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So you would think that drinking with Jimmy Buffett would be memorable in itself.
Sure.
But when I was in the Navy, so I was in the media department. He did a USO tour out to one of the aircraft carriers. We had to print out all these little things for him to sign for the whole crew. So I was the new guy on the totem pole, so I'm handing them out to everybody. Get your Jimmy Buffett posters, just being a dumbass. And out of nowhere, somebody says, hey, who's this Jimmy Buffett guy? And I said, some old guy your parents used to listen to. And I look up, and sure enough, there's Jimmy Buffett standing there with his big, wide, you know, ass-eating grin. And all I could think to say was, I'm a big fan of your music, Mr. Buffett. And without missing a beat, he looks at me and he goes, that's all right. You were probably conceived to one of my songs. So that's the time that I got to accidentally insult and then later in the day drink with Jimmy Buffett.
That's awesome.
What's he like to drink with?
He was a cool guy. I mean, he's down-home, just good old billionaire guy.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, Landshark Lager is his beer. The Miami Dolphin Stadium briefly had that name attached.
Yeah, which is huge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his beer is really big in the Southeast. I mean, we were in Biloxi for the Super Bowl. They were building a margarita casino and hotel.
Oh, Margaritaville, yeah.
Yeah, that just looked like, man, this outdoor pools, palm trees.
But it's all Jimmy Buffett. I mean, there are posters of him everywhere. And look, I hate his music. I do. I think it's some of the worst crap ever. But he does strike me as a guy that I'd sit down, smoke a joint, drink a lot of beer, and have a good time.
Oh, yeah. The only reason I hate his music is I worked in a bar where there was just, like, a section of drunk dudes, and they would play the same Buffett songs, like, every night in a row.
For a while, that was a trend. And it's like, man, I don't want to hate the guy. I just don't like his music, but, man, you're making me hate the man. And it's not okay. He seems like a nice dude. Mm-hmm. God,
I've been to Margaritaville because there's one of his bars is in Vegas. And me and my buddy went to a UFC fight, so we're out pretty late. So now we're gambling, we're winning some money, and we're like, hey, this Margaritaville has a happy hour at 3 a.m. Like,
damn!
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Sophia. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, putos.
Hola.
So, can I give a quick shout-out to my husband in Iraq real quick?
Yeah. I think our signal carries that far.
Yeah, no, well, my wonderful husband, William, is deployed in Iraq right now, and hopefully he's going to be home in about 6 weeks. That's all I'm hoping for.
Oh,
right,
your loins are burning.
Yeah. You already got a plan, don't you?
You don't need a plan. You don't need a plan. Trust me, you don't need a plan. It's going to happen.
It's going to last about 5 seconds.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Forgive him that, but yeah.
Oh, it better not. So I got a really good one for you guys. So the day that Toontown opened in Disneyland, we just happened to be in L.A., and we were there for the opening day of Toontown. Now, when we got there first, we had to stand in this huge freaking line. I mean, this thing was ridiculous. Like, 2 hours just to get into that part of the park. And when we finally got in, like, I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's kind of set up in, like, a loop, and we were at the Goofy Bounce House. And I think I was 11 at the time. And these kids cut in front of us. I mean, they were little kids, like toddlers, and their mom. What does my birth mother do? he proceeds to kick this woman literally in the butt to the point where she falls over, and then she punched her in the back of the head.
Oh, damn.
These kids cutting in line, okay? But that's where it gets better than that. So as we're getting taken around Toontown by other members, the other adults in the group that we were in, there was like nine or ten of us, we're seeing her getting detained by Disney security, and I gotta tell you, when you get arrested by the guy with the mouth badge, it's something different. it really is. And then a couple hours later, we were getting off that awful ride in Small World. I don't know if you guys have ever been on that.
Yes.
I hate that ride.
Well, at least they have air conditioning in the summer in there.
Right? Well, here's where it gets better. As a little boat that we're in pulls up to get us off of the damn ride, my mother sees this woman getting on in the boat in front of us. So what does she do? She literally gets out of the boat, takes off running, dives into the boat, and literally tackles this woman and beats her like I've never seen anybody take a beating before. And at that point, she got arrested by the Anaheim Police Department and Disney Security. I could not believe what I was seeing.
And this is your mother.
It's freaking... Yes.
Was this her normal go? I mean, like, if you're at the grocery store, and I don't know, someone takes her parking spot, was she the woman to get out and start kicking dents in the car, or was this just an unprecedented moment?
I wish I could say that this was unprecedented, but unfortunately, just due to the way she was my entire life, and the fact that I haven't spoken to her in 20 years, this is how she always was.
And do you think is she still the same person?
Yes, she very much is. I saw her last summer when I was in Florida, and... she was literally just as awful as she always was. And I was like, why did I even think to give you a chance in my life? Like, go away.
And she ruined Disneyland.
She's in Florida, so she's probably a peach now. You know what I mean? She's probably one of the better citizens that live there.
Yeah, she's in the right place. No, I mean, if that's your general demeanor. Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, but I just couldn't believe it. I mean, like, literally, like, attacking this woman twice over a cut in line with toddlers. Like, are you kidding me? What's wrong with you?
So then what happens? Are you with your dad at this point? I mean, you guys have to be escorted.
Yeah, when mom is arrested, what do you do with the kids?
Yes. My parents left, and then the rest of us stayed with the other adults that were friends of the family, and we ended up going and enjoying the rest of the park. Keep in mind, she did this at, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And you know she wasn't hammered.
No, she was stone cold sober. Yeah. That's the worst part.
Because she's just crazy.
I mean, she may have, you know, popped out to go smoke a joint or something because she is a huge pothead, but...
Doesn't work.
I cannot... I can't imagine being that high and doing that. I mean, like...
No.
Seriously, that is the craziest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And people around us were like, oh my God, I feel sorry for the people that are with her. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, like I said, I'm 11 or something at the time. And I'm just like, oh my God, you have no idea how embarrassed I am.
How many husbands has she had?
She's working on number 3.
Okay. Did you witness any physical abuse when you were growing up?
That's part of the reason I didn't grow up with her. My grandparents actually took me when I was 8 years old because this psycho actually, like, abused me to the point where the night I was taken, I was actually in the hospital from being beat with a metal chain.
Jesus Christ, man. Do you think she's got something more than, I mean, obviously, do you think she might be bipolar or has some mental issues that she needs to figure out?
Well, given that I'm a nurse practitioner and have been through 2 years of medical school, I can definitely tell you yes. She has some seriously undiagnosed and untreated mental illness, schizophrenia. I mean, this woman was just unbalanced from the beginning.
Your grandparents raised her, and they knew enough to get you out of the house when you were 8 years old. So they obviously were clued in.
Well, Sophia, somebody here, by the way, says, like your caller, I was also at Disneyland the day the Toontown opened. And I remember the fight she's talking about. It was freaking hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Hey. I mean, that's a specific day to be at Disney.
Right, that is a very specific day. And chances are your mom's the only one that beat the piss out of another mother that day.
You know, that's not that unusual, Ted. It's a small world. Other than the event itself, what made the event memorable? 206-421-ROCK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.